Let's give that to Jesus. Amen. He's the only one deserves our praise this morning. Amen. Well, I'm going to set these right here, and you'll see what those are for later. So I'm setting you up like I do my kids in kids' church. Now you're going to be watching that all service. What's he going to do with that? What's he going to do with that? That's how I keep their attention. I figured I might need yours as well. Is God good? I'm telling you, what a great day it is to wake up and get to serve Jesus this morning. I'm just excited for his presence in this place. And did anybody come hungry for God's word? I know this week has just been an amazing week for me and my family. And we just want to say thank you for your trust in us. And we will do our very best to not let you down. However, I am just a man. I'm like every one of you sitting out there. I will make mistakes. And I pray that you'll have grace with me as I have grace with you. And as grace has God with all of us. Amen?
Amen.
All right, well, we're going to get into our word today. And I'm excited about what God has laid on my heart. Is that ringing? Am I hearing an echo? Hello? Testing? Okay. As Zach said about the prayer, I just feel like God is calling us to a time of prayer. You see, God is transitioning, he's moving, he's doing things in our midst, and the last thing that I want us to do is miss it. And so I want us to be in prayer. That's what I want us to pray. I want you to, does everybody have our app? You have the app. On that app, there's a prayer wall. I don't know if you know that, but there's a prayer wall. If you have a prayer request or somebody else gives you a prayer request and you want to put it on the prayer wall, put those things on our prayer wall on the app so that we can be praying about all those things. Amen? All right, well, we're going to get into our message today. I'm going to read to you from 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm going to read 11 verses. I don't normally have this many verses, but I really wanted to just give you the whole background of this story. Amen? All right, so 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now, there's a lot of crazy towns in here, so it might look like I'm speaking in tongues, but I'm trying to pronounce some of these crazy words, all right? I am a Texan, and we don't talk like they did over there. So, all right, it says, so now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Soko in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes-Damim between Soko and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another with a valley in between them. So I want you to get that picture this morning as we're reading this. You have the Israelites on one hill. They have the Philistines here, and there's a valley down below. And down in this valley is where Goliath is fixing to step out. And it says, a champion named Goliath, who is from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. And now, I have studied this out this week. I'd never done this before, and I thought, you know what? If I'm going to preach about it, I need to know about it. So I looked at this, and the best that I can tell, that means that he was 9 feet, 9 inches tall. Yeah. Where is Landis at? How tall are you, Landis? How tall are you? He's got about 3 feet on you. Woo. Stand up for us, Landis. Stand up. Stand up. So here's a man 3 feet taller than Landis, all right? And it says that he had a bronze helmet on his head, and he wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. And in doing the math on that, that weighed about 125 pounds just in his armor up here. And it says on his legs he wore some bronze greaves and a bronze javelin which was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like that of a weaver's rod. I looked up what the weaver's rod back in those days would have been and what it looked like, and it was just a long wooden rod that they would take and weave the blankets and the rugs and things with, and it weighed about 17 pounds is what they said. And it says its iron point weighed 600 shekels, and iron 600 shekels is going to be 16 pounds. So just in his javelin, his spear, he had 33 pounds. His shield bearer went ahead of him, Goliath stood and he shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come out, or have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the words of the Philistine, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Let's pray over God's word. Father, today I come to you and I'm just so thankful for your word. I'm thankful that your word renews our mind. But today, God, I don't want just a renewing of our mind. I want a changing of our heart. I want us to move it from knowing to believing. I want us to put it from knowing and believing to trusting. And Lord, today, we just come hungry today. We come hungry for your word, for a voice from you today, God. And so, Father, today, I just submit myself to you, and I submit your word to us today, and let it come in, and let it not go back void. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I titled the name of my message this morning, "You're Not Looking High Enough." You see, one of the problems that we have as human beings is that we usually operate within the realm of our five senses: taste, touch, sight, smell, and hearing. If we don't operate in those things, if we can't taste it, see it, touch it, smell it, or hear it, or see it, well, then it's probably not there. It's really hard for us to believe that it is. Amen? Now, if you read it on the internet, you can believe that, though, right? All right, no, just kidding. But that's why we have so much trouble trusting God, is because just simply because we can't perceive him with our five senses. In John chapter 1, verse 18, he's very clear about it. It says, "No man hath seen God at any time." And so the first problem that we have is that we can't see God. You see, if we could see God, then we wouldn't have any trouble at all trusting him, would we? You know, the old saying, seeing is believing. So if you could see God, it would be so much easier to believe in him and what he can do for us. If we could hear him speaking in an audible voice like we've read about in the Bible stories, how God would speak in an audible voice, it would be a lot easier for us to put our faith in him, wouldn't it? Has anybody heard God in an audible voice? You know, it's just very few and far between where God does this. He did it in the Bible days, and very seldom does he do it in these days. And so many times we feel like Job in chapter 9. It says, "For he is not a man as I am." See, Job is saying, "God's not a man as I am, that I should answer him," is what Job said. And so you see, because we can't see God or hear God or touch him, it's easy for me to forget that he's even near me sometimes. It's easy for me to forget that he wants to work on my behalf. And so the first problem that we have is we can't see God. The second problem is that we can see our problems. And I don't know about you, but if I go by my five senses, my problems can bombard me day in and day out on a regular basis. Because I can see my problems, I can hear my problems, I can touch most of my problems. They're very real. And so they occupy my horizon as I'm looking around, and all I can do is focus on my problems sometimes. I don't even get to see the things in the horizon. They kind of invade my serenity and dominate my thoughts, and it robs my peace if I just focus on my problems, because they're there constantly reminding us and mocking us, if you will. They greet us in the morning, and they yell challenges across our valley to us. And day after day, they begin to belittle us, and they make us shake in our very boots, and they remind us that we're not in control of our own destiny. And when most of us look out into the valley and see our giant standing there, can I tell you, that's where our gaze tends to stop. We just see that, and we just stop. We don't even look around. We see that problem, and we just focus on it. And when we stop with our focus on our problem, and we forget that standing behind our problem is a God that is more powerful than we can imagine. He's greater than any problem that we can face. He's bigger than any mountain that we have to climb. God is stronger than any enemy that we face. Amen? So what we need to do today is we need to stop looking at the problem, and we need to start looking at the problem solver. We need to raise our eyes a little bit higher. We need to get our eyes out of the valley and onto the hills. You see, in Psalms 121, it says, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. You see, in our text today, we read and we find that David is coming to the battlegrounds to bring food to his brothers. David had been out tending sheep, and his father said, hey, your three brothers that are in the army, they're over there on that hill, and they need some food, and I need you to take it to them. So David, being an obedient servant to his dad, he gets the food, and he goes all the way to where they're at. He comes up on the hill, and now by the time David arrives on the scene, we have to realize that Goliath had already been stepping out into that valley, yelling threats against God's people for 40 days. So for 40 days, Goliath has come out, and he's challenged the army of God, and not a single warrior is ready to go. And then for 40 days, Saul and his mighty warriors, they would focus on this Philistine giant, but that's where their gaze would stop. They would look at the problem, and they would see it, and it was so big, they would think there's no way around it. And so they could never get past his threats. They couldn't get past his size or the booming voice that was yelling the threats thunderous across that valley. They couldn't bring themselves to believe the promises of God, that God would deliver them from this Philistine giant. And they could never get their gaze above the valley, above the problem. It filled their horizon. And that's where their focus stopped. And they got tunnel vision, and all they could see was the giant. And that was where their hope stopped. They couldn't see a way out. That's where their faith stopped. They couldn't believe or didn't believe that God would or could deliver them from this situation. And that's where their courage stopped. They couldn't get past the fear because they didn't look high enough. But then along comes an approximate 17-year-old boy, David. Here comes this boy who's either too naive or he's too full of the Holy Spirit to bow down to this problem, no matter how big he is. And I think it's important for us to note in this story that David never called Goliath a giant. Now here's the kicker. Saul and his whole army and David, they were all looking at the same problem. They were all looking at the same giant. Yet Saul decided that the giant was too big to defeat. And David, he never even called him a giant. Saul's gaze stopped on Goliath, but David said, no, I'm going to look a little bit higher. I'm going to look a little higher. You can't stop with the problem. You can't stay focused here. But I'm going to look to the problem solver. And Saul had that same problem that we often have. We're just not looking high enough. Amen? Our problem is that we can't see what God is doing with our carnal eyes. When we look through the eyes of the flesh, the problems are giant. When we look through these eyes, the problems are giant. But it's only when we look at our problems through the Spirit that we can see what God is doing on our behalf. I want us to think about the story in 2 Kings where Elisha, he was the prophet of God, and the king of Syria was chasing him down. He wanted to kill him. He was mad at him, wanted to kill him. And he had found out that Elisha was hiding in the city of Dothan. And so he took and he ordered a bunch of his soldiers together, gathered them together, and said, I want you to go surround the city of Dothan, and I want you to kill Elisha. And when Elisha's servant woke up the very next morning, this is what he found. It says in 2 Kings 6:15, it says, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. You see, that's where the servant's gaze stopped. When he stepped out on that balcony that morning thinking he's going to have a cup of coffee, and he looks out and all he sees is chariots and horses and a mighty army there to kill him. He just can't get past it. And his focus stays there. He couldn't see a way out. He couldn't see how God could possibly deliver him from such a mighty army. But Elisha, when he stepped out onto the porch that morning, when he stepped out on the porch and he looked at the enemy, but he raised his eyes a little bit higher. And when he said to his servant, he said, look, he said, son, you're just not looking high enough. He said, so in 2 Kings verse 16, we can see, he says, don't be afraid. The prophet answered, those who are with us are more than those that are with them. Amen. And then this is what he prayed. Elisha prays to God, and it says, and Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Wow. The view changes when we start looking up, doesn't it? If you stop looking, when your eyes are on the enemy, you're going to miss the chariots of fire that God has surrounding you in the background of all of your problems that he sent to protect you. Can I tell you, you're not looking high enough. If you will, we need to raise our gaze. And I got to thinking about that. We might need a t-shirt around here that says that, don't we? Raise our gaze. We need to start looking up to the Father. Amen? And you'll see that God is still in control. God is there, and he's working in the realm of faith beyond what you and I can see. Amen? You see, it was while when Peter was walking on the water towards Jesus that he saw the boisterous wind. And it said that he looked down, and that's when he began to sink, and he began to drown. If his eye would have stayed down, if he would not have looked up a little bit higher and looked into the face of Jesus, he would have drowned that day. But he looked at the Master. He looked at the one that could control the winds and the waves, and he was saved that morning. You see, if his gaze would have stopped right there, he would have drowned. He wouldn't have made it. Let's look at Abraham. If Abraham would have focused on how old he was, he wouldn't have never had the faith to believe for the son that God had promised him. But he was able to look beyond his circumstances and get a hold of that promise because he looked a little bit higher. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Ooh, can I tell you, if I walk by sight, I'm going to be discouraged all the time. I'm going to be living in fear. My problems will dominate my life. But somewhere along the line, I have to start looking a little bit higher. I have to start looking through the eyes of faith. And I need to raise my gaze out of my problems and out of the valley and onto the hills. Amen? Yes. We need to stop looking down and we need to start looking up. We need to stop looking at our problems, and we need to start looking at the problem solver. Amen. If I could get the band to come up for just a moment. I'm gonna end pretty early today because we're going to go to the Lord in prayer in just a moment. We're going to pray, and we're going to look a little higher. Amen. You know, I know that many of us in this room are facing very real problems today. Financial problems, health problems, marital problems, spiritual problems. There's all kinds of problems that we face every day. And these are problems that are like giants, and they have us hiding in our tent, afraid to come out, kind of like the army of Israel. Now, I'm not minimizing our problems this morning. I know that today those problems are real. I know you're not making them up. They really exist, and I know that they can be very, very intimidating for us at times. But I'm just telling somebody this morning that we just need to look a little higher. You're not looking high enough. If all you're looking at is your problems and your situation, you're not looking high enough. You've rested your gaze on the problem, if you will, but I'm telling you to look a little higher. You see, there's help from above. Stand with me, if you will. Who's ready to go a little higher, look a little higher this morning? Are you ready to take your focus off of your problems and look at the Master, the problem solver, this morning? You see, he's the only one that can help us. He's the one that holds us in his hands. He's the one that can solve every problem that you have. There's not one. And I can say that with confidence this morning in my God. There's not one problem that he can't handle. Amen? If the prayer team will come, I'd like for the prayer team to come and come back around the front. This morning, if you're here in this place and you say, "Pastor Jack, I need to raise my gaze. I need to look a little higher this morning. My problems this week have just overcome me. My problems this week have had me discouraged. They've had me worried. They've had me feeling like I wasn't worth anything. Whatever your problems are doing to you, I tell you this morning that God is here this morning and He's ready. If you'll put your eyes on Him, He'll show you the solution. He'll become the solution to every problem that you have in this place. There's not one that you can bring down to Him this morning that He can't solve. He's the problem solver. Amen. We're gonna, as the band will sing the song, we're going to just sing and worship and enter into His presence. And it's in His presence that we're healed. It's in His presence that we're delivered. It's in His presence that our lives are changed, that we no longer are going to do the things we used to do, that we're going to move forward with Him. Amen? And so this morning, as you begin to lift up your presence, the Bible says that God inhabits the presence, the praises of His people. And so as we begin to lift up our praise, He's going to pour down His Spirit. He's going to move in our midst today. Do you believe it? If you believe it, look a little higher this morning and take your eyes off of your problems and put them on Jesus this morning and let Him be your problem solver. Amen. Let's praise the Lord in this place.
As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come over us. Come rest on.
Thank you.
good to be in the presence of the Lord this morning, to hear from Him this morning. I just want to encourage you to raise your gaze this week. Look to the Father. Look to this problem solver and not the problem. As you go through your week this week, I pray, and my prayer is that God would remind you each and every moment of your day when you begin to look at a problem or a situation, and I pray that you'll think, oh, I got to raise my gaze. I need to look a little higher. I need to look to the Lord and Master, the one that can do something about it. And that's my prayer for us this week. And if we'll do that, if we'll begin to put our eyes and our focus on Him, no longer will we be discouraged. No longer will we need to be encouraged, because we'll be the one encouraging those around us. When we look unto the Father, we have Him in our focus. When we begin to see Him, all the problems go away. We begin to, the problems just fade into the background because we're so enamored with our Savior. Amen. God is doing a work in our hearts this morning and in our lives. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. We give all glory and all honor to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for being here this morning. I pray that you will be an encourager on your job or in your home, wherever it is that God has you this week. I just pray that God would use you and that His light shine through you into the world around us. And there's so many people that would need Jesus. Amen? Amen. So I believe that God has us in this place. He has us as this church, Grace Point Church, to be a light into our community and into our jobs and into our homes so that others will be drawn to Him. You know, if we lift Him up, that He will draw. Thank you so much for being here today. If you're still praying, we want you to continue to pray. We'll stay here as long as you need. But if you need to leave, we understand. We pray that God's blessings on you. Go and have a great week. In Jesus' name, amen.